trust you're all well and well-fed. Who doesn't like pasta and meatballs? I mean, you can't miss. And sausage. The problem with that is, as good as that food was, there's a disease. It's called Migo. And if I see it happening to anybody, I don't know what I'll do about it, but don't try me. It's called My Eyes Glaze Over. In an afternoon meeting when the belly's full, but I trust God will speak to our hearts this afternoon. I want to read in John's Gospel, first of all. John chapter 18. And we'll read at verse number 16. Well, let's go back a little bit. Verse 13. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And Simon Peter followed Jesus. It'd be lovely if it ended right there. And so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art thou not also one of this man's disciples? And he saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Over to the book of the Acts, please. I'm going to read about Peter again. Chapter 12. We'll break in this chapter at verse 7. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, Peter, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out, and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, It is his angel. And Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, and with this we're done. John's Gospel, chapter 20. Passage you know well. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Verse 26, and after 8 days again, his disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. I trust that God will bless the reading of these three passages of his word. We have read about some doors. Doors in Peter's experience. Now, you know that doors are very significant in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus said, I am the door. And I'm wishing this was a gospel meeting because I would preach that. But doors are very important in the scriptures. Again, the Lord Jesus said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door. But we've read about doors that were opened and doors that were closed and doors that should have remained closed and were opened and doors that were closed and were never opened. And I want to speak on these doors, and I'm thinking of the experience of believers that want guidance in their lives, and who doesn't? I had an email from a young person this week, and she asked the million-dollar question, how can I know the will of God for my life? What doors are open? What doors are closed? Well, in the first door I want to speak to you about, Peter was outside the door. Peter stood without. And it was a door that was closed to him, and it was closed for good reason. Sometimes doors are closed to us. You might not understand why they're closed, but they're closed. And you know they're closed, and you try the door, and it doesn't seem to want to open. I'm talking about experiences now, not literally a door. It was a literal door in Peter's experience. But it was a door that another disciple went in. And it was open for John. But it was closed for Peter. Now, I don't know how that happened. Unless Peter wasn't following as close as John was following. Could be. But by the time Peter got to the door, it was not only closed, but it was locked. And Peter stood without. Now, sometimes in your experience, you're going to come to doors that are closed. And you don't understand why they're closed. Would you take some advice from Peter? Don't force it open. This is a door Peter wished he never went in. This is a door that would almost prove fatal for Peter. When you come to those experiences in life, when you find the door is closed, your way is blocked, doesn't matter who else has gone through that door. If God has closed that door for you, do not force it open. You may live to regret it. It was only a few hours before this, if that, that everything Peter said he would never do outside that door, as soon as he got in that door, he did. He vowed to the Lord Jesus he would never deny him. He even said, as he looked around at all the other disciples, John included, though they all deny you, I will never. I'll die first. Easy to say outside that door. But it was a different story when he went through that door. Sometimes, when the doors are closed, leave them closed. Peter found that inside that door, it was easier to please the people than it was to please the Lord. Those are the kind of doors I'm talking about that need to stay closed. When the pressure inside that place, wherever it may be, when the pressure under those circumstances, whatever they may be, when the pressure behind that door will be such that it'll be easier to please the people that are in there than it will be to please the Lord, don't go through that door. Save yourself some trouble. Don't go through that door. You know what I'm talking about. Everything that we know about Peter, you would say, no, this can't, he wouldn't do this. Everything you know about yourself, you would say, no, I would never do that. I look at Peter and I say, Peter, what are you doing? What are you doing? I wouldn't do that. That's what Peter said. I wouldn't do that. Yet I'm not through that door. And neither are you. But if you go through that door and you find yourself in the same circumstances Peter was in, you're going to find what Peter found. That it's far easier to please those people than it is to please the Lord. He's in now. And I know many a preacher has spoken about this, but it bears repeating. He's cold. Not only physically, but he's seeking to warm himself with the same things that they're warming themselves with. Their fire. He's with the very men that hate Christ. He's with the people that despise him. He's with people that don't even know who he is. And he's standing with them. That's what we read. He stood with them. Now wait, Peter. Didn't you come in through this door to stand with the Lord? What are you doing standing with them? And all of a sudden he finds himself in this conflict that I can't stand with both. I cannot stand with these people and stand with the Lord. Neither can you. So be careful. Be careful of the company you keep. I'm not just talking to young people here, although there's a tremendous amount of you here. This applies to every one of us, to old people like me. Careful of the company you keep, because it happens. Whether you believe it or not, it will happen. You become like those you stay with, those you stand with. It's a quirk in human nature, sinful human nature, that we become like those we stand with. Therefore, stand with the right people. And though his intentions were good, and he came in through this door that he might stand with the Lord, he didn't. You can almost see him. He's standing there at their fire. And it had its effect. Oh, Peter would say, it's just my hands. You know, it's just my hands. Just my hands are cold. I'm just warming my hands. It has nothing to do with my heart. No, Peter, your hands and your heart are connected. And you can't disconnect them. If you dabble with things with your hands, it's going to affect your heart. Especially the things that they're doing with their hands. This is what they're doing to warm their hearts. And while you're not thinking of warming your heart, Peter, you're just thinking of warming your hands. You're standing with them, and what's warming their hearts is freezing yours. And Peter does it. Not once, not twice, but three times. And then he had to back it up with even speaking like them. He denied the Lord. Then he spoke the same kind of language they spoke. Awful thing to go in through that door. Sometimes believers will go through a door that they're very well able to go through. That's what Paul takes up in Romans about tripping up another brother. This is a door that John would have been better off not to go through. If he knew that this was going to trip up Peter, because John could do nothing in there. This was out of John's control. This was in the Lord's hands now. And John didn't even understand that Calvary was a necessity at this point. There was nothing John could do to change the circumstances. The Lord Jesus was there. By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God that John knew nothing about. This was a door that John would have been better off never to step through, and then when he did, never to open the door to his brother. So we need to be careful, especially now those of us that are older, what doors we go through. Because while John was able to handle it, Peter wasn't. And I've often thought when I read that scripture that Peter went out and wept bitterly. I've often thought that there was probably another man that wrote this book that he went out and wept bitterly too. Why did I lead him this way? There are doors that are closed and they need to stay closed. So if you're seeking the will of God in your life and God closes doors, don't kick them open. But we come to another door. Actually, there's several doors in this next passage in Acts. But I'm going to talk about the door to the prayer meeting. But first of all, there was the door to the prison. There was a lot more than a door to the prison. There were shackles on his hands and feet. And there were soldiers. There was a whole lot of miracles happened here when the angel of the Lord opened the door. Now, that's a good thing. If the Lord sends an angel to open the door, you better go through it. Okay, now, I don't know how you're going to know that the Lord sends an angel. You'll probably think what Peter thought. He thought he was dreaming. Okay, and you'll probably think the same thing. But if ever the Lord sends an angel to open a door for you, go through it. And that's what Peter did, because the angel said unto him, follow me, follow me. And he still thought he was dreaming. And they went out through the door, the first door, the second door. Then they came to the gate of the prison that opens to the street. And he says, that door opened by itself. And they walked through two blocks, and then the angel disappears. Now here's the part. When Peter was come to himself, this is what he did. He considered the thing. What a thing. What a thing to consider. Now, if it were me, I'd be considering, whoa, the Lord opened the prison. Right? That's maybe as far as I'd get. Maybe that's as far as you'd get. Look, the Lord opened the prison door. What a thing the Lord just did for me. Look, the Lord put all those guards to sleep. What a thing the Lord just did. But that's not what he's considering. He took a look around him and he said, where am I? What a thing. Why did the Lord do that? Why did the Lord set me free? He began to consider the thing. First thing he thought about is, where's the others? Where are the believers tonight? Let's see. He looked up. Wednesday night. Wednesday night. What's going on? This is Wednesday. I wonder where the believers are on Wednesday night. Oh, yeah, they're at the prayer meeting. You think the Lord let me out of prison to go to the prayer meeting? Come on, I've been shackled up. I need a shower. I've been sleeping on a cold dungeon floor. I can't go to the prayer meeting. But why did the Lord open the door? When he considered the thing. You ever considered on a... I'm just going to use Wednesday night because everybody's prayer meeting is on Wednesday night, right? So I'm going to consider Wednesday night now. Do you ever stop and think when you're not on the way to the prayer meeting? Where are the believers tonight? Oh yeah, but I'm busy. Where are the believers tonight? Stop and consider the thing. Why did the Lord save me? Here I am wanting to know the will of God for my life, and there's a prayer meeting tonight. Yeah, but I'm a sister. I don't pray. Shame on you. Maybe that's what's wrong with the prayer meeting. There's some misconceptions about a prayer meeting. And they're so simple that I can't believe that people don't think of them. And because it's what the scripture teaches. Do you know why we say amen when a brother prays? Because he's the voice for all of us. And sister, he's praying. He's the audible voice of that congregation. And everyone in that place, they're not doodling. They're not daydreaming. They're praying. That's why we close our eyes. There's nothing in the scripture that says you need to close your eyes. We are closing our eyes, so we're shutting everything else out, so that we can concentrate on what our brother is praying, and we can enter into it with him, so that when he's done, we can say amen. And instead of one brother praying his prayer, a wave of prayer has reached the shores of heaven, and the whole assembly has prayed. Now, does it matter if you're at the prayer meeting? Peter considered the thing. Why did God set me free? Well, you say not to go to a prayer meeting. Well, then why do you think Peter went to the prayer meeting? Because when he considered the thing, that's the conclusion he came to. He set me free to go to that prayer meeting. And so I'm going. Why did God set you free? Why has the Lord saved you? Oh, you say, well, not to go to a prayer meeting. Are you sure? Because right at the very first teaching of the apostles' doctrine, listen to what it says. They continued steadfastly in Bible reading. In prayer. God had it in mind when he set Peter free. And God knew that there were saints over here praying, and they're actually praying for Peter. And they never dreamed that their prayers would be answered. So Peter stops and he considers the thing. What will I do? I want you to consider it next Wednesday. You say, well, I can't make much difference in a prayer meeting. Really? Maybe Peter's looking at his condition and saying, I really can't go to that prayer meeting. I'm not dressed right. The brethren are going to think, oh, Peter, can you even? What difference will I make in that prayer meeting? Okay, now I am going to speak to the young people. Whether you know it or not, young people, you heard today about elders. I can guarantee you that the elders of your assembly pray for you by name and are concerned for your well-being. And whether you know it or not, they know a little bit more about your circumstances than you think they know. And they're not prying. They're praying. And if you haven't been going to the prayer meeting, they're praying for you. Can you imagine what an effect it had on that prayer meeting when the very man they were praying for, that they thought it was impossible that he would ever come to this prayer meeting, knocks on the door of the prayer meeting? And then when he actually steps in, he's here. The man we're praying for. The very one we've been praying for actually comes to the prayer meeting. You don't think you could make a difference in a prayer meeting? Try showing up. And the hearts of the saints that have been praying for you and praying that God will guide you and make something of your life and use you for His glory and save you from a corrupt world and give you something to live for. You show up at that prayer meeting, their hearts will soar. They've been praying for you. What a difference one person can make coming to the prayer meeting. You could be the very answers to prayers that the saints have been looking for. Peter was. He comes. I imagine as Peter stood there outside on that road, he looked at himself. He probably could smell himself and thinking, where should I really go? Really, where should I go? He came to one simple conclusion. There is one place I should be. I know I need a shower. I know I need a rest. But there is one place I should be tonight. I hope you never forget that. When it comes to Wednesday night, because that's your prayer meeting now. When it comes to Wednesday night, there's one place you should be. And wherever else you find yourself, I hope God puts this in your heart and burns it into your memory. There is one place I should be. When I took my place in that assembly, I took a pledge, a vow, that I would stand with those people. That I would be a member in that body. 1 Corinthians 12 also speaks of the local assembly as a body. Ye are body of Christ. I took my place in that assembly as one of the members of that assembly. And where that body is, that's where I should be. And that's the conclusion Peter came to. That's where I should be. The girl was so excited at the door, she didn't open the door. You can almost see it happen. It's Peter. Peter's at the door. And here's a woman speaking in the assembly. She came back in and she says, it's Peter. She probably whispered it. And the whisper spread around through the prayer meeting. Peter's at the door. Finally, some brother got it in his head to look at her and say, you're mad. No, she said, I'm not mad. Peter's at the door. Meanwhile, he continues to knock while they're arguing whether Peter's at the door. I mean, it's really? They're in there praying for Peter? And the Lord answers the prayer? Is it really they don't believe God will answer this prayer? That should speak to all of us. Peter's just out of prison. He's standing in the road thinking, considering, where should I go? Peter knows the power of prayer. He knows what God can do through prayer. Peter's seen God working through prayer. He's experienced God working through prayer. Peter's given up serving tables so that he could pray. Now there's brethren in there praying, and they don't know what God can do through prayer. Where should I go? I should go to the prayer meeting. It'll prove to these believers that the power of the assembly of God is in that prayer meeting. That's where we get it. That's where it is. It's not in the breaking of bread. That's worship. That's not where our power comes from. Power to bring down heaven to us. Power to enable God to work in ways that we have no idea of. The assembly prayer meeting has become almost, if you can make it, it's fine. But if you can't, we understand. No, we don't understand. You don't understand. That's where we're losing our power, brethren. That's where the power of past ages has been. And I hope it coming across. I feel this deeply in my own soul. If we were the people of prayer that we should be, God would be the God of salvation that He longs to be. God longs to use His people. He longs to answer prayer. But what does He do when men aren't praying? When it's more important to go to a hockey game or a baseball game or some activity with the family or the children than to pray together. Peter says, I should be there. And he goes. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Next Wednesday comes. Who do you think's missing from the prayer meeting? Not one. Word spread through the Christian community like fire. We were praying for Peter last Wednesday night. And God heard our prayers and sent an angel and put the jailers to sleep and opened the doors and delivered Peter out of the prison, and he was scheduled for execution. Because we prayed. I tell you. You'd be at the prayer meeting next week, wouldn't you? So would I. And I'm not pointing an accusing finger. I've missed my share of prayer meetings. But I trust we understand that when God opens this door, go in it. And God has opened the way for you to get together with believers to pray, and brethren, pray. Get together, sisters, at the prayer meeting. Come. Exercise to pray. Sisters, yes. To listen to the brethren. To add your amen. It'll warm your heart. And the shocking thing will be this. The very things you're concerned about, you'll find that brethren in that prayer meeting are praying for. How does that happen? It happens because the same Spirit of God that indwells you indwells them. And God brings His people together to pray. That door has been opened for us. Let us go in. John chapter 20. You know this one. It has been spoken about many and many a time. The disciples are gathered together for fear of the Jews, and they shut the door. This door is shut. In fact, twice over we read in the same passage, the door being shut. God is underlining, emphasizing that this door is to stay shut. That's where they are. Why? Because that world out there just crucified the Lord Jesus. Just happened. 3 days ago. This is the third day. 3 days ago, those disciples went through unimaginable horror. They stood and they watched as it seemed helplessly. The Lord Jesus was led and impaled alive on a cross. We get used to the cross. No. It was a real man that suffered excruciating pain, nailed alive to a tree. They watched it. They'll never get over it. They locked the door. Keep those Jews out. Keep those Romans out. Keep the world out. Shut us in alone, not with the world. When they drew that line and shut the world out, and Jesus came. Not through the door. The door stayed shut. And they were shut in now with Christ. Ever been shut in alone with Christ? Must have been a tremendous hour. Talk about a morning meeting. They didn't gather there to remember the Lord. That's not why they were there. But what a morning. actually an evening here, probably. What a day to have the world shut out and shut in for an hour with Christ. You know, Peter gets criticized a lot. With this, I'm done. You know, Peter, he's impetuous. He does it. You know, Peter is pretty quick. Yes, when someone's quick, they're quick to go the wrong way. But Peter learned quick, didn't he? He didn't open this door, did he? When the Lord has the door shut to the world, leave that door shut. Shut in with Christ. This is where Peter would like to be now. Inside this door, with the world, Peter learned, those people outside that door now, they're the enemies of Christ. And if they're the enemies of Christ, they're my enemies. If that's the world that crucified Christ, leave that door shut. Keep the world out. Shut in, inside here, with the Lord. You know, I'm glad the Lord never opened that door. Came in. I don't know whether he just came through the door, came through the wall, down through the ceiling. Who knows? Doesn't really matter. He doesn't need doors like that. You and I do. He doesn't. And 8 days later, you know, there's some believers that are still outside. That's no excuse for you to be outside in that world. The Lord knows every believer that's out there in the world. I'm not speaking about them. I'm speaking about you. You're inside. Leave the world out there. Even though there's believers in it. There was one of their own believers. Thomas wasn't with them. He was outside there when the Lord came. So you know what they did? They said, Thomas, you should be in with us. Why? The Lord was there. He said, I don't believe it. Of course they don't believe it. That's why they're still out in the world. They don't believe the Lord was in the midst. Neither did Thomas. But I'll tell you what, he was there the next Sunday. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst. He was really there. And he spoke to Thomas. There's a door we want to leave shut. Leave the world out there. But go out to him without the camp bearing his reproach. May God bless his word.